John writes in Revelation, and some of the words we were just hearing, on either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. John here is, of course, building on Old Testament prophecies, and specifically Ezekiel 47, the vision of the river flowing out from the temple, and that includes these words: on the banks on both sides of the river there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing. I guess about 3 months ago, I was minding my own business in my study, reading, and I had pretty well finished the manuscript of my book, Consider the Lilies, How God Saves People in the Land, and wondering what I was going to focus on next, and came in the mail the Nature Conservancy magazine, which I just started getting. And so I was looking through that, and I found in there the story of a project in Louisville called Greenheart Louisville, which I hadn't heard about. So I was intrigued about it. It talked about the planting of 8,000 trees back in 2019 in a 4-square-mile area through which runs an expressway. And this project had been set up in such a way that, even though it was slowed down a bit by the pandemic, after 5 years, they were able to conduct a study of the health of the people living there. And one of the doctors who was involved in this study said, "I was blown away by the health improvements of the people who lived in this 4-square-mile area." Just the benefits that came. Part of that had to do with the filtering out of pollutants from the expressway, part of it had to do with other benefits that come from trees, which, of course, we tend to take for granted. From this pulpit, I think a year or two ago, Matthew Sleeth pointed out, referring to his book, Reforesting Faith, every key event in the Bible is marked by a tree. And it's true, and Dr. Sleeth noted, every important character and every major event in the Bible has a tree marking the spot. There's a tree in the first and last chapter of the Bible, in the first psalm and in the first gospel, and similarly in dozens of other places throughout the biblical books. But I want to talk about something, I hope, deeper in the roots even than that. Now, of course, trees are first of all physical, but they quickly become symbols and metaphors. We ponder to think about that the central symbol of Jesus' atonement, the cross, was made from a tree, not plastic. It's a material cultural artifact with its own history in human culture. And though it's much more, its very physicalness is a key part of its meaning. What a cruel irony that Jesus' atoning death also involved the death of a tree. And yet, somehow most appropriate. There's a lot we know and a lot we don't know about trees. I just found out some things recently on the PBS program, The Secret of Forests. It was on a week or so ago. Some of you may have seen it. I learned, among other things, that there are 3 trillion trees on our planet. Can you imagine counting those? 3 million trees on our planet, and that is more than the stars in our Milky Way galaxy. I wonder if that was true. I looked it up and found out it's true. So I wondered, so how many trees do we have in Wilmore? 100,000? 300,000? I don't know. I'm not going to count, but the thing is, We live in, I've got other things to do. We live in a land of trees that sustain much of our, of course, we all know the basic physics. We learned about it in grade school. You know, we breathe out carbon dioxide, and the trees breathe it in and breathe out oxygen. We can't live without them. So this is just part of the world that we're in. Now, if you've been following science at all, you know there is such a thing as the human microbiome. All the microorganisms that live in and around and on our bodies and so on. Well, it turns out the trees also have a microbiome. It's not found in the trees, it's found in the earth. Their roots interacting with fungi, insects, microorganisms in the soil. The soil is the tree's external gut, as one ecologist put it. Trees and other plants can talk using a chemical language. Healthy trees never live alone. A healthy forest is a fascinating interaction between trees, fungi, soil, insects, birds, animals, and now, especially humans. We are now in the Anthropocene age, as scientists are saying. Swiss forest ecologist Tom Crowther says, the power of nature is in its complexity. Now, I came across the other recently a short story, The Man Who Planted Trees. And I have some extra copies of this if you want to pick up a copy after the service. A humble shepherd lived alone with his dog in a wasteland at the base of the Alps in the northern part of Provence. The shepherd lived in a small cottage some distance from an abandoned, desolate village. Now, a man hiking through this area comes across the shepherd and talks with him for a few minutes, and the shepherd invites him to come and spend the night. The next morning, the shepherd goes out to the hills carrying a bag of 100 acorns. His guest follows along to see what the man is up to. This poor shepherd is planting oak trees in the wilderness. Over 3 years, he planted 100,000 trees. Of 100,000, 20,000 had sprouted. Of the 20,000, the shepherd expected to lose about half. There remained 10,000 oak trees to grow where nothing had grown before. Now, this story takes place just before the First World War. And the narrator of this story, he serves as an entry man in the war, but then he returns to visit the lone shepherd after the war. So the story continues. The oaks of 1910 were then 10 years old and taller than either of us. It was an impressive spectacle. I was literally speechless. And as the shepherd did not talk, we spent the whole day walking in silence through the forest. When you remembered that all of this had sprung from the hands and the soul of this one man without technical resources, you understood that men could be as effectual as God in other realms than that of destruction. So time passes, the shepherd continues his tree planting, adding beech and birch trees to his reforestation efforts. And then 25 years later, after World War II, the narrator returns to this region to see what has happened. He hardly recognizes the countryside. It has been utterly transformed. Everything has changed, even the air. Instead of the harsh, dry winds that used to attack me, he writes, a gentle breeze was blowing, laden with scents. A sound like water came from the mountains. It was the wind in the forest. On the site of the ruins I had seen in 1913 now stand farms, cleanly plastered, testifying to a happy and comfortable life. The old streams fed by the rains and snows that the forest conserves are flowing again. On each farm, in groves of maples, fountain pools overflow on to carpets of fresh mint. Little by little, the villages have been rebuilt. And more than 10,000 people now owe their happiness to this one tree planter. So, trees have been used in all kinds of ways, including poems. I remember, I don't know where I picked it up. I was talking to my wife, Jan. She said she never heard it in school. But a poem that begins, "I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree." And then I remember some years later, Ogden Nash wrote, "I think that I shall never see a billboard lovely as a tree. In fact, unless the billboards fall, I'll never see a tree at all." So, we're talking today about trees and about leaves and the healing power of leaves. Of course, indigenous cultures know a lot about that. And in the scripture, that's true in the new creation, as we read in Revelation 22. It has to do with the new creation, all that God will accomplish and Jesus will accomplish in his return. It's also true, because it's true ultimately, it's also true in lesser ways globally today, both in the physical, biological, cultural sense, reforesting the globe, healing Earth's climate, and also in the spiritual sense. Good news of Jesus Christ brings spiritual and cultural healing to the nations, as so many Old Testament scriptures proclaim. So reforestation, reforesting Haiti could turn it into a tropical paradise as it once was. Reforesting North America would make us a happier, gentler nation. Reforesting devastated parts of Africa would heal droughts and sharply reduce the numbers of refugees entering Europe. Reforesting Wilmore would reduce many of the diseases we now suffer from. This is what the Green Heart Louisville study shows. There is growing evidence of this from around the world. Planting a tree is an exercise of faith in faith. Planting a tree is a visible expression of hope and can be an act of political resistance. Unless we are planting trees, we're dealing with symptoms, not causes. So, what will we be known for? What will I be known for? What will you be known for in 50 years, in 100 years? One who cut down trees, or one who planted? It was Joyce Kilmer who wrote the poem. "I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair. Upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain." Poems are made by fools like me. But only God can make a tree.